Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader in you come alive.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us. Friends, no matter if you are the father, the son, or the shepherd, or the spy, no matter the role, you have a purpose, and you're a leader in that purpose. And our goal here is simple, to inspire and equip all to lead where they are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will, on cue and his calling on our lives, which is our purpose, and get others on cue with that purpose. What is cue? It is how Nehemiah, a model transformational leader, led a starved, desperate, isolated people in building a wall around ancient Jerusalem and essentially building a way of life. He CUE'd them up. Q is for, the acronym for starts for, C is the common ground. It's what we can agree on. It's the why. U is unified thought. What vision can we share? It's the what we're going to do. And E, equally yoke. What is the game plan? What success looks like? What's my role in? It's the how we're going to get it done together. Q leadership in general integrates biblical principles of using Nehemiah as a model and helping you to do two things. One, get people to trust you, and two, get people to follow you. Discipleship, trust and discipleship, those are the two axes of leadership. As we always do, we want to kick off our show with our prayers. Lord, you are powerful, merciful, loving God. We thank you for this day. Lord, lead and bless this ministry, our audience, and all that are serving you. Lord, we know that this Q leadership is your brainchild and our calling in your name. We honor you today by doing two things. Giving you the glory, and two, serving this generation through you, Lord, let your word, as your word says in Romans 12:2, tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove that it was good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Lord, use this ministry to complete that purpose, align, equip, and transform two new leaders for your glory, and help others hear the call and receive the call, and raise some new transformational leaders and gatekeepers in your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So our show, what we'd like to do is always have a dialogue, have a conversation about leadership in God's word, equip leaders with a roadmap and a tap into faith and building that trust and building that discipleship. And we try to highlight everyday leaders who are making a difference, who can testify to God's goodness, who are being transformational in their own sphere of influence. Our show is a lot of things, but our show is not to criticize, but to shine a light on some truth and love. It is not to tell you what to do, but provide a different lens in order to see things. And it's not to focus on the mere symptoms of a problem, but the root of the problem. And in a lot of sense, treat the infections and not the runny nose. So today, as with any day, let's be open. Let's pray that we hear the Lord and not me. We have the right questions, no matter what the differences may be. Remember that this life is about love and surrender. And there will be differences of opinion, but let us do what a true transformation leader said. Let us agree without being disagreeable. And at the end of the day, let's be thought partners. Have a fruitful dialogue today. So remember, as I shared in our opening, as always, our purpose is to align, equip, and transform new leaders for the Lord's glory. And we use Nehemiah as the model transformation leader because of what he's done, as articulated at the beginning of the show. You know, Jerusalem, take you back, Jerusalem laid in ruins. The walls were broken down. The gates were burned down because the attacks, there was going to be constant attacks for those who wanted the land or just wanted to destroy the Jewish people. Before the walls were built, the Lord had to set the proper foundation, though. So the Lord stirred, if you remember, in Ezra, King Cyrus, king of Persia, to decree that the exiles could return from the land of captivity to their home in Judah. And so in 536 B.C., the exiles made that long journey back to Zion, back to Jerusalem, with about over 5,000 articles of silver and gold taken from the temple just 7 decades earlier. Lord sent Ezra to set the foundation to restore restore the worship and build the temple. The foundation was laid for this with a great ceremony of men, and it's also there was a lot of resistance in building the temple, and it actually worked stopped nearly 16 years later. Finally, in 520 BC, the rebuilding of the temple began and completed in 516 BC. But you know, Nehemiah would come later, as the walls of Jerusalem would be rebuilt in 52 days, as we know, as we all talked about. But remember, again, our purpose is align, equip, and transform new leaders, just like a Nehemiah. And so as we talk about Q leadership, we talk about common ground. But what Nehemiah did was ensure that the exiles remember that, found common ground with them, remember that they had a share in Jerusalem. And that claim, they had a claim and historic right to it. And the unified thought he prepared, he shared the vision with his purpose, rebuild a wall, build up way of life, but it was led by God's promise. Remember, he helped them understand, remember, that was a promise, but remember their stored history of the results of the disobedience, of wandering and being exiled, being under attack. And so the eagle, as you say, is an equally yoke where he planned and led this transformation and where everyone shared in this sacrifice. For everyone, he set the path forward. He defined people's role. He defined what success looks like and reinforced the need for sacrifice for the future. Help understand that this building on this wall, this foundation, was not about this generation, but the ones to come. But let's talk about the promise, though. Look, Nehemiah mentioned this in his prayer, if you were at the beginning of the chapter. And his prayer went as this. He gave the Lord's reverence. He said, Lord, revered almighty God of heaven, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love. He understood that the faithful love is quality and honors a covenant through thick and thin. He understood that the Lord had that. Then he confessed, he humbled himself as a servant and acknowledged that he was a sinner, and not keeping those commandments. And at the end of the day, though, he promised and asked the Lord to remember that covenant. He asked the Lord to gather a scattered people, and he asked the Lord to use him to bring them back to a place to where he had promised them so long ago. And what was that promise? It was a promise to Abraham, where he blessed and multiplied his descendants. He would be Abraham would be the seed of many of a generation. And he blessed the friends that are around him. He cursed the foes. He really anointed Abraham and also built a fence around him at the same time. And he gave to him, and he said he would give to him his descendants Canaan as an everlasting possession. And so there were just kind of think about, fast forward back to Nehemiah's time, to where even before he got there, there was desperate, a short of food, national security. There's no sleep. They had to move stones with weighing tons at a time to short and build gates and withstand all sorts of attacks. From trained armies, they worked with one sword in the hand and a brick in the other. They were building, they were restoring, they were fighting, they were protecting all the time because these armies were well-trained, they were well-equipped, and they were well-protected and or feared by politics of the day. So fast forward to today, to the modern Israeli-Palestinian conflict is going on today. There's been multitudes of ceasefires, multitudes of fighting. It's been a constant going battle for a long time. So the Jewish people, then probably not short of food, but they're dealing with national security as they were before. They're rebuilding walls daily because they're on a constant watch. And the Jewish people are fighting a well-trained army with resources and protection. And who wants to, number one, wipe the Jewish people off the face of the earth, and two, want to drive them a place to which where they were promised. What about that promise? What about that covenant to his people God made generations ago? Yes, times have changed, but if God makes a covenant, will he break it? I ask you that, friends. If he made this special covenant then,
does it still stand to this day? Okay. If that promise still stands, are we, what I mean by we, if our hearts, our politics, our nations, our voices, our idleness, are we on the wrong side of the covenant? Which is the question of the day. So helping us with that is Dr. Robert Mariri. He's going to help us with this question. Dr. Mariri will help us with this. He has devoted his life to a global evangelism and encouraging, motivating, equipping, igniting the fire and the passion for more of God and countless of people wherever he goes, especially in Israel. He's a man of vision, purpose, strength, character. He has been recognized internationally, sought off by radio shows, TV shows. He facilitated a variety of humanitarian activities, including the current conflict. So he's also the author of many books, but the one that's most relevant to today is The Great Dilemma, The Final Destiny of Israel. He's also chairs a variety of nonprofit boards and also the founder of Worldwide Shortwave Network, Radio Network, and The Good News Israel. And so he's going to help us with this question. And if you please stay with us, friends, because he is one of the phenomenal voices around this Israeli conflict and a big proponent not only for the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's also a big proponent of making sure that we protect the Holy Land. So stay with us. After the break, we'll bring on and kick off our conversation around Israel. Wrong side of the covenant. So with Dr. Mariri. So during the break, stay with us. Feel free to log in with us in our live chat room. Call us at 310-861-2331. If you want to ask a question or make a comment, press 1 on your telephone, which is raise your hand virtually, and my daughter Kennedy can bring you in into the conversation. Friends, we would love to hear from you. Again, our number is 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
We lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with his calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
And And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and his calling on your life. So today's question, Israel, wrong side of the covenant. Helping us is you, and it's what, please call us at 310-861-2331. But it's also helping us is our special guest. Dr. Robert Mariri has devoted his life from global evangelism, encouraging, motivating, equipping, igniting a fire and a passion for more about God and countless of people wherever he goes. He's a man of vision, purpose, strength, internationally recognized speaker, author, and businessman. He's sought after for speaking roles from television, radio, international conferences. He's been a major part of facilitating many humanitarian activities, and even those around the Israeli and Palestinian conflict, which is our subject of the day. And even more importantly, he was author of many books, including the one that's pretty relevant to today, about the Great Dilemma, the Final Destiny of Israel. Dr. Mariri, welcome. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. This is a great opportunity to meet your audience and to share, because this issue about Israel is the most important issue in the end of days, terminal issue, the defining issue, the issue that will bring the end of time, is, according to the Bible, is Israel. When God restores them back into the land, he made it very clear that they will restore the ancient cities, rebuild on the ancient foundations. And those ancient foundations, as you know, they are all in the West Bank. Jerusalem, Shiloh, Bethlehem, Jericho, Calvary, all the places mentioned in Scripture are in the West Bank. And God says, when you come back, you will restore those ancient cities, knowing there will be a conflict that we are about to discuss.
Absolutely. It is the one, not only most important topic that's on our news today, but it's the most important topic, as to your point, to the end of days. It is. That's why we're so excited to have you here tonight.
I was looking forward because our people perish for lack of knowledge. The knowledge of what God said concerning the conflict. God has already adjudicated the issue of land for peace. When God spoke to Abraham, he said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. You call him Isaac.
Call him Isaac.
which means laughter, because God is making Israel just really is God's humor, a little people in the sea of 300 million that do not like them, wants to kill every one of them, and God says, you will not perish because I will watch over you, and you will be in the land when I come back, and we are watching prophecy being fulfilled. That's why those who are listening, I believe this is a divine appointment. I believe it's a message that is critical, because every person will be judged over this issue of Israel. It's going to divide the church. It's going to divide the world. It's going to divide families. The issue of Israel, not understanding the covenant, will lead people to embrace replacement theology that denies that Israel no longer has a place in the divine economy.
It's dividing us right now, and that's why I wanted to bring you on, because to your point, it's providing an understanding of the covenant, understanding of what this is all about, really giving people a different lens on how to see this if they're not looking at it the right way. You articulated why this is so important. You have a passion around it. You know, let's start with the covenant. Let's start simply right there, of talking about the covenant and what does it mean. Well, even before we get to that, what is a covenant, Dr. Mariri? What is a covenant?
Well, a covenant, you know, it's stronger than what we have in modern days called a contract. It's more than that, because a covenant, when they cut covenant in ancient times, they split blood and they mingle the blood, and what it meant is that everything that I have is yours, and what's yours is mine. And God made a covenant, Abraham. And in that covenant, God says, I'm giving you this land as an eternal possession for your children's children's children forever. And forever means forever.
Forever.
God made that covenant, and he declared the covenant, and he cut the covenant. And so what we are watching is people that do not understand that God's covenant is infallible, God's covenant is inerrant, God's covenant is eternal and cannot be changed. You know, as believers in Jesus Christ, we believe that the Word of God is the truth and that whatever God said is eternal. Now, it is the same God that spoke through Jesus Christ in the New Testament, who spoke in the Old Testament and made this, and
right.
He said, this is an eternal covenant between you and your children's children, and I'm giving you the land. But this is the point that's so critical. He told Abraham clearly and said, you will be, your children will be in slavery for 400 years. After 400 years, he delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, took them to the ancient land to fulfill his word, his prophetic word. And we saw them with Joshua come in and take the land, and then Solomon built the temple, established the kingdom. Now, God made it clear to them, when they disobey, you throw them out of the land. When they
yes.
obey, like he did when they went to the exile in Babylon, they were thrown out and brought back, because the covenant is eternal. Things change simply because when we walk in disobedience, there are consequences. But discipline is not rejection. It just means you're going to be disciplined for your disobedience. And that God said he's going to scatter the Jews among the nations, and then he will bring them back to
then
a still eternal covenant. This is where we are in 1948. They came back because God brought them back. Not man, God brought them back.
Well, that's what I said. Everything we read about this, it denies the biblical or religious elements around it. It was all about politics, all about freedom, all about the U.S. getting involved and putting Jews back on the land. It's never about the biblical sense. And maybe you read certain papers. I'm just talking about the public media that we see in each and every day. How is it important that we need to shift our thinking and don't allow that screen of politics or something other than that to guide us?
The most important issue right now is what the United Nations, the Security Council, the media, the nations are saying concerning Israel. They are saying Israel is wrong. Israel needs to divide the land. Israel needs to give up. What they don't understand that the land issue is not a political issue. It's a prophetic issue and a God issue. If there is God who declared that this is their land forever, then there is nothing to talk about because God is the final authority. Now, we know God said that when they come back, he will judge the nations for dividing the land. And I want to give scripture to our listeners.
Sure.
Scripture is what adjudicates over this issue. First of all, I want to go back to when God spoke to Abraham and said, you will have a son, Isaac. Immediately.
Even before you do that, Dr. Murray, why Abraham? Why did he choose Abraham?
You know, just like he chose you and me. He was chosen by grace of the Lord. The grace of our Lord saw this man. He called him, and he obeyed. The key is obedience. Because as we are speaking right now, God is speaking to many who are listening right now that they have to obey. The call of God is only made effective by our obedience. Because destiny is not by chance. Destiny is by choice. So Abraham was given a choice, and he chose to obey God. Just like the nations are being given a choice to either believe in the covenant and be blessed, because Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 says, I'll bless those who bless you, and I'm going to curse those who curse you.
Yes.
So individual families or individuals can choose to come under the covenant blessings of Abraham by standing with his promise, his covenant, and saying no to the dictates of the United Nations, Security Council, our government, and the nations of the world who are condemning Israel. Because Israel is trying to just fulfill their calling back to the land. A call that God promised 2,500 years ago that he will bring them back. And
we'll
he
bring
did
them
it.
Back.
He did it to tell everyone that he is the only true God. A God that would speak things 2,500 years down the road and fulfill them. He is the only true God. And God has literally brought them back by a mighty hand and put them there in the middle of 300 million that wants to destroy them.
Mm.
Now, their existence is a miracle. It just for one day Israel to exist surrounded with such a hostile environment tells you and me that there is a God who is in control of the affairs of men, a God that controls history, that history is his story, is the story of the unfolding of the prophetic predictions that were given thousands of years ago. Everything
Amen.
Is on, everything is online. It's like everything is it's so precise. What God said, for instance, right now, you're watching the conflict and the land for peace issue. Now, do you know that Joel chapter 3, verse 2, speaks to the United Nations, the General Assembly of the United Nations, 2,500 years ago, before anybody knew about the nations of the world gathering together to divide Israel? And it talks about land for peace and addresses that issue prophetically, and it's exactly what's happening in Joel chapter 3, verse 2. God says, I will also gather all nations in the General Assembly to make resolution 181-242 to divide the land, and will plead with them there for my people, for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and partitioned my land, land for peace. God says, I'm going to judge all the nations of the world for resolution 242-181 to partition the land of Israel. Because the land belongs to the Lord. And he says, you know, he forbids the children of Israel for even selling the land. In Leviticus 25, verse 23, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. Whose land is it? God's land. Now,
yes.
just think about it.
I'm thinking, you know, you got me flowing here, because there's a lot of things that have happened along the way. So before I get to that, I want to give everyone a context setting, because you've been involved in a lot of these conversations. So it's not just perspective of you know the word, but you also understand the ins and outs with how these decisions have been made. But to your point of that none of this land should be sold, so what about 2005, 2006, of giving Gaza away? How does that play into this?
You know, that was God's judgment on Ariel Sharon. I met with Ariel Sharon before he was prime minister, and I said, Mr. Sharon, God has sent me to tell you you're going to be the next prime minister of Israel. He said, no, because there are issues about my indictment regarding what happened in Lebanon. My political future is over. And I said, I'll tell you. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will make you the leader in 6 months, and you will lead this nation. The only thing God has told me is that you must not negotiate land for peace, because the day you do that, he will strike you like he did the kings of old. I said, I've come in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I've come to deliver his word. He's the one that brought you back into the land, not the United Nations, not the Security Council. You are not a democracy in the sea of dictatorships. You are existing as an evidence of God's faithfulness and God's keeping covenant. He's keeping covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he's bringing you back to fulfill his word and his promise that he made 2,500 years ago, that he will bring you back. So don't even listen to the people saying, give up land, because it's not your land. And I gave him this scripture, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners, for you are strangers and sojourners with me. God says, I'm inviting you into my land. The land cannot be sold because it's my land. So who is the United States of America to say the land should be sold or land should be divided when God says the land is mine? This is a very specific, definitive territory that God says it's mine. So if it belongs to God and we are people of God, then that means we have to stand with God. We have to do what God says. We either listen to what the United Nations and the Security Council and the Arab nations and all the nations of the world are saying, or we listen to God. The choice stands before all the nations, all the people, all the families of the earth to make a decision. Who is God? Is the General Assembly of the United Nations God? Is their resolutions greater than Scripture? If they're greater than Scripture, then we don't need to be talking tonight. I happen to believe that God is who he says he is, the Almighty. So, yes, you know what happened? He became prime minister in 6 months, and he obeyed all the scriptures that God had given me to give him, and he didn't divide the land. Second term, he took God's people from God's land because of the fear of people. The pressure from our government, the United Nations, the EC, the League of Nations, the Arab League, all these nations coming against him, and he yielded to their demand and removed the people of God from God's land, and God did exactly what God told him. I will strike you. He had a heart attack immediately and was around for another 6 years because his time had not yet come. Because he disobeyed this clear scripture, the land is mine. Don't sell somebody's land. Because if you don't have title, if you sell somebody's property without title to that property, then that's a felony.
Absolutely. So which brings our question of the day so relevant, being wrongs on the wrong side of covenant. But when we come back after the break, we're going to talk about the terms of that covenant, to your point of if you disobey the terms of that covenant, what those are and how we should look at that. We have Dr. Robert Mariri here talking about the great dilemma that around Israel and Palestinian conflict. Our question of the day is being wrong side of the covenant. So you can't miss this. Please stay with us. If you got any questions, feel free to call us at 310-861-2331, and you can even log in our live chat room, and we can pull you in and have a conversation there. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with his calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Powerful is your leadership. Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue.
I learned more about heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
Thanks for staying with us and listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and his calling on your lives. So today's question of the day is Israel, wrong side of the covenant. Helping us with that, we have the dynamic Dr. Robert Mariri, who's devoted his life to evangelism, encouraging, motivating people across the globe about the Word of God. He's a man of vision in so many rights, from speaker, author, businessman, sought-after speaker from television, radio, and as well as humanitarian activities. Also the author of a book including The Great Dilemma, The Final Destiny of Israel. And Dr. Mariri, thanks for staying with us. We've had a great first segment, and I love we just jumped right into it. Before the break, we were talking about the promise, talking about the covenant and the contract, and also the impacts of just setting the context of your perspective on the Israeli and Palestinian conflict. But what I want to take the audience back to, Dr. Mariri, is Lord made the covenant, make the promise with Abraham, where he would bless and multiply his descendants, bless his friends, curse his enemies, and give him a land that for them to inhabit. But then there's some terms of that covenant. And doing those terms as a covenant, Dr. Mariri, it was important. There's a names exchange. There is a seal by the blood. Can you talk about the importance of the name change and why it's important of the signature of the blood?
Well, the covenant, as we go back to the covenant, was made between God and Abraham, and he changed his name to signify the change that will take place in his life and his children's children's life. He became Abraham, the father of many nations, in Sarah, right? Because when God changes your name, he changes your very identity and your destiny. He locks you into a destiny that he has preordained, predestined. So he became part of this incredible covenant. We, as believers, have now become joint heirs together with him through the blood of Jesus. But they had cut covenant by literally splitting the animal, and the Lord allowed Abraham to go to sleep because this was not going to be by might nor by power. The fulfillment of this covenant was going to be by grace. It was this, what we call a sunafike, which means a one-sided covenant where God commits himself to take care of everything and do it for you. That's why the existence of Israel as a nation, it's not contingent upon anything except the faithfulness of God to his covenant. He made a covenant that was, I will bless those who bless you. I will give you the land. It was totally God's initiative, God's power at work to bring Abraham into this relationship that will result in his children inheriting the land forever. Genesis chapter 17, verse 8. Defines how long this land covenant was going to be.
Forever.
I will give your descendants all the land, not some of the land, all the land, as an everlasting possession. That's Genesis 17:8. Everlasting. And the last time I checked everlasting, it meant forever.
Forever. Forever. So this, my next question is trivial then, and I know it's simple, but I have to ask it in order for our friends to listen. Is that covenant unbreakable?
It's irrevocable, unbreakable, it's eternal. And
eternal.
As people say this, let me just add something here. People have told me, look, God has rejected the Jews, so the land covenant is no longer valid. They should keep the Jews out of the land and let the Palestinians who have been there for the last nearly 2,000 years have all the land because God, rejected them. So there is no place and no need for Christians, believers, to pray for the Jewish people or to stand with the Jewish people because it's not all about Jesus and going to heaven and God has nothing to do with the Jews. Well, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 3, God addresses that issue. He says, "For look, the days come, says the Lord, that I'll bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I'll cause them to return to the land I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." God says, I'm going to bring them back. They're going to possess the land, and they're going to live in the land. Now, people say to me, well, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, They neither we male or female. Well, have you noticed lately that there's still
yeah.
some females and there's still some male? It simply means for salvation, there is no special deal for men and no special deal for the Jews. We're all saved through the cross of Jesus Christ. But it doesn't mean that the eternal purposes of God that he preordained are going to be nullified by that. Actually, they're going to be strengthened because he addresses the issue of Israel as a nation back in the land in Jeremiah 31, 35 to 36. He says, "Thus says the Lord, which giveth the sun for light by day, and the ordinances of the moon, of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roll. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever." Now, he's making clear that as long as it's night and day, I've made a covenant with Israel to be in the land. He says, if the ordinances of night and day are removed, the moon, the sun, and everything is removed and the seas are removed, only then will God stop protecting Israel, preserving them in the ancient land he gave them. That tells me that until there is no longer night and day, God's covenant is valid.
Because it's valid. As long as there's night and day, his covenant is valid. You know, Dr. Mariri, you mentioned a few seconds ago about those are saying that the Lord has rejected the Jews and why not just allow them to move out, they no longer have possession of that land. I would imagine you get a lot of pushback from a lot of different walks of life, politically, economic, social, religious, about these views. You know, how do you help navigate people outside of what you just did for us? And hopefully this has really penetrated some people's ears and hearts and minds tonight of what you just shared. But how do you manage that? Because it has to be huge multitude of people.
You're right. It's not easy. It's not easy because people's minds are really influenced by media and they don't fully understand the eternalness of the covenant, the unchangeability of the covenant, that God is not a man, because the scripture tells us, the authority we have is based upon the scriptures. There is no authority outside of the Bible. It's the final authority regarding any issue. Now, in the book of Romans chapter 11, first of all, people say, well, the Jews are not saved. Well, Romans 11, 26 says all Israel will be saved. That's God speaking. You say, how are they going to be saved? I don't know. I'm not God. But God in his word in the New Testament.
Right.
Romans 11:26 is all Israel will be saved. He's going to bring them back to the land. He's going to bring them back to the land. It says he will bring them back to the land in unbelief. But he would save them in the country. He will sprinkle the water of cleansing in the country while they're in the land that God chose for them. God is going to deal with them and reveal himself to them. And it's a blessing that they don't know the Lord, because until the fullness of the Gentiles will come in, God says he's going to put a blindness on them, not a rejection, but a blindness on them, until he brings them back. And Romans 11:26 says, and all Israel will be saved. They will see him whom they pierced, they will embrace him, and all Israel will be saved. But what's important when I'm talking to many people, I show them this scripture, Romans 11:28, which says, is regarding the election, meaning about the Jews. They are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. Their forefathers, they are beloved right now. For the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. The gifts and calling of God. In other words, God made a covenant. He cannot break his covenant. Their calling is irrevocable, eternal. Their land is given to them forever. Now, our part as Gentiles is to bless them. Those who bless you will be blessed. So when we bless Israel and stand with them and pray for them and not judge them and condemn them, then God will give us the blessings of Abraham. We partake of those blessings because we have been grafted in, brought into the commonwealth of Israel. If there is no Israel, there is no commonwealth to bring the Gentiles. If we are grafted in, we are grafted in to their family. So we come in, adopted. Now we're telling the children that belong to the family, you are not allowed here. You're not welcome.
When you say for us to bless them, what should we be doing as Gentiles?
Okay.
What should we be doing in order to support this tactic?
There are two things that are clear from... Now, I'm going to use New Testament scriptures because I believe most of the people listening are believers in the New Testament. So I'm going to give New Testament scriptures right now. John chapter 4, verse 22, says salvation is from the Jews. God used the Jews to bring salvation to the nations. The apostles died in Gentile cities preaching Jesus, and we, the Gentiles, or the nations, killed the Jews who were preaching to us about Jesus. Salvation not only was through Jesus' blood on Calvary, the apostles took the gospel, the good news, to Gentiles, and they died in Gentile cities, pleading with us not to worship snakes and not to worship idols, to bring us to the knowledge of God. Through the Jews, the Gentiles came to know him. And the scripture tells us what we must do in return. This is extremely important that you ask that question. What can we do as Christians among the nations? What is our responsibility? I'll give you a scripture. Romans chapter 15, verse 27. It tells us exactly what we need to do. For if the Gentiles have come to share in the spiritual blessings, which is salvation, sanctification, glorification through Christ, they ought also to be of service to them in their material blessings. It's saying we Gentiles, if we were blessed by the Jews through the gospel, the scriptures, now we must bless them with material things, financial. We must give them financial help because they brought us spiritual blessings. We have to give them, right here, the Apostle Paul says, we must give them material blessings. That means we must support the Jewish people right now in this crisis and in the future to fulfill this New Testament mandate, a mandate from the New Testament to bless the Jews materially, financially. That's what it tells us. That is Romans 15:27. It says we are to give, as a matter of fact, in other translations it says we owe them a debt that we must pay to appreciate what they've done for us. So what is God's obligation for the church? Do you realize, maybe you never thought about this, that the Gentiles in the early church took all the offerings to Jerusalem? Then the Apostle Paul says, now my God, El Shaddai, will now bless you among the nations.
Mm. I did not know that.
It was through all the offerings going to Jerusalem so that God, who says, I'll bless those who bless you, would now then release that blessings among the nations, among the believers around the known world. So today we take the offering to build buildings. When the offering of the New Testament was probably taken to bless those in Israel as a way of saying thank you for bringing us the scriptures and thank you for coming and telling us the way of salvation. Now, that's first responsibility, financial blessing to the people of Israel. What is the second one? I'll give scripture on the second one. The second thing that we need to do is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 62, verse 6 and 7. God says, I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night, and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and make her a praise on the earth. God says, I'm raising an army of intercessors among the nations who are going to pray until God makes Jerusalem a praise on the earth. What is our calling? To intercede for Israel, for God to pour his spirit, like on the day of Pentecost, among the Jewish people and make Jerusalem a praise on the earth. Two things, financial support, prayer support.
And
that's
prayer.
The obligation of the New Testament church, of believers in Yeshua ben David. These are
financial
people commanded.
And prayer
financial
support.
That is Romans chapter 15, verse 27. It says we owe them a debt. We have to give them financial support. That's number one. That's scripture. That's New Testament scripture. The Old Testament scripture, Isaiah 62, 6 and 7, it says the responsibility for the Gentiles is to pray until God makes Jerusalem a praise on the earth. That means until all the Jews are saved. We are called to doing that. That's our calling, to pray the Jews into salvation. So the more they stay outside the knowledge of Jesus Christ is because we, among the nations, have not prayed and interceded for them. It's our responsibility, our prophetic mandate, our calling as believers to pray for them in. They prayed us in from the nations. They came, they died for us, telling us about Jesus, and they died in Gentile cities. Now God says, in the last days, you Gentiles must pray for them until I make Jerusalem a praise on the earth. That means until I bring salvation to the Jewish people.
So we need
now,
to be finding.
How many churches?
go ahead.
That brings us to Psalm 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. So when we pray for Jerusalem, for the Jewish people, God says he will prosper us financially, relationally. He will prosper our churches. He will pour his spirit upon our churches and revival break out by praying for the Jewish people to come to the knowledge of the Lord.
So that goes right back to the initial promise where he said that he will bless your friends and curse your foes. So
that's
as
right.
We're praying, not only those are we're showing it we're being friends, Lord's going to be blessing us in return. Goes right back to the promise.
Exactly. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, where he says, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Now, we don't want to be cursed. We want to be blessed. Now, let me take a minute and just kind of deviate from the topic and talk about Palestinians. Because that's an issue that's before everybody on CNN and on, you know, we're watching it. So the issue of the land, where should the Palestinians go? What should they do? How can we pray for that? How can we deal with that? Is there an answer? And I have no answer because I only know what God says. What God says, I believe, is the only answer, is that God knows everything. He has preordained everything, and he's in control of everything, and that if we're to be blessed, we're to listen to him. Now, Abraham, remember he prayed when God says you will have a son, call him Isaac. He says, oh, my son Ishmael, if you're going to give the land to Isaac, what's going to happen to my son Ishmael, to my Palestinians, to my Arabs? What's going to happen to them? So Abraham immediately raised up the land issue. He said, okay, you're giving me another son, and that's posing a problem. The problem is the land. Where is my son Ishmael going to go if you give it Isaac? Well, that's the issue that we're dealing with right now.
Right.
Now, God says to Abraham, Abraham, I've heard your prayer. I'm going to give Ishmael 12 princes, which is 12 nations, 300 times more land, more oil, more of everything. That's how much he loves the Palestinian people. That's how much he cares for the Ishmaelites. He says, okay, Abraham, I've heard your issue for land, for peace. This is what I'm going to do to answer that. I'm going to give Ishmael 12 princes, 12 nations, 300 times more land, because you asked for them, for him to be blessed, and I'm going to bless him. He's the seed of Abraham. I'm blessing him. The Arabs are blessed by God. They are special. They are God's children. They have the same DNA as the Jewish people. God did not discriminate against them and say, I'm cursing them. No, he says, I'm blessing them. I'm going to give them, not only did he give them 300 times more land, he also gave them all the oil. So they would be so blessed because they are the seed of Abraham. So could you, now the question is that, was that fair for God to do that? To give them 12 nations, 300 times more land and more money? Was that not fair? Did that not express his love for his children?
A covenant.
I say that is wonderful that in this covenant, God took care of all the Arab people. So God is not discriminating against the Arab people. God is not hurting the Arab people. God loves the Arab people. Jesus died for the Arab people. I pray for the Arab people. I care for the Arab people because they're God's people.
Absolutely.
Now, the problem is when we deviate from what God says, that's when we have conflict. When we reject the covenant and God's plan for coexistence, when we say no to what God has declared and made known to us, and say, this is the way I want it, and we change those boundaries and we change everything God says, then we're having a conflict not with man, but a conflict with God.
So if this covenant forever, and we are have not given resources, financial in prayer, or if we're not defending with all our hearts, our politics, our nation, and even our idleness at times, where does that leave us?
Telling you, it means America is coming under judgment because we are touching the apple of God's eye. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. For he that touches Israel touches the apple of God's eye. Now, what we are doing is telling the people of God that don't worry what God says. We don't care what he says. Do what we say. And what we say is, though God has given the Arab children of Abraham 12 nations, vast natural resources of oil so they can make billions of dollars to bless them. Though God has blessed them, we disregard that. We want you to create another 13th state for Ishmael because we disregard what God said. Now, I say we as the people of God, we are not to be into politics because politics is man trying to manage his own affairs without God. We as people of God, we've been told very clearly we are to pray for them, number one. Number two, we are to support them financially. Number three is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. It says, comfort, comfort my people, that says the Lord. We are to be a comfort to them. We are to pray for them. But it's not like praying for the Jewish people to dominate, exploit the Arab people. No. Our prayer is for God to bring salvation to the Arab people and to the Jewish people, because only through Jesus can we all live together as one family, the family of God. It cannot happen apart from the person of Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. Therefore, our prayer is that Jesus Christ may be made known to the Arab nations, that they may be saved, and that the Jewish people might come to the saving knowledge, that America may come to the saving knowledge and not disobey God, so that we as God's creation may submit ourselves to God.
Absolutely. You know, when I first met you, it's over 10 years ago now, there's two things that stuck out. We've already covered the first around your love and passion around supporting materials from the Israel perspective. And the second, probably the first more, is your love of Christ. And so you just interjected an answer to what we need to be doing. But we need to also to kind of talk to our brothers and sisters who are listening around from a Christian perspective how that fits and how those covenants ties. So after the break, Dr. Mariri, we'll continue that dialogue, and we're having a conversation with Dr. Robert Mariri around Israel-Palestinian conflict, and our question of the day is wrong side of covenant. So stay with us. You can't afford to miss it. If you've got any questions or comments for Dr. Mariri, call us at 310-861-2331. If you don't want to call, you can send us a text on a message on Facebook or even on our live chat room, and Kennedy can bring you in on that as well. So we'd love to hear from you, 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for a better life.
Thanks for staying with us and listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and His calling on your life. So today's question of the day is Israel, wrong side of the covenant. And we have the dynamic Dr. Robert Mariri, who has devoted his life to evangelism, encouraging, motivating, equipping those who he's come across, essentially on cue with God's will and calling on his life. He is a man of vision and passion, and if you've heard for the last few segments, you can really, really agree with that and know why people starve for his voice, his perspective, his wisdom, if it's television, radio, or even humanitarian activities. And he's also the author of a book, The Great Dilemma, The Final Destiny of Israel. Dr. Mariri, thanks for staying with us, and thanks for carving time out. I know it's a busy Sunday for you. You know, before the break, we start talking about the passion, your passion for Christ and how Christians need to respond to Israel in these days and also in the future. Before we get to that, though, you mentioned we talked about your book. We talked about The Great Dilemma, The Final Destiny of Israel. Why is that so important to help us understand the covenant not being nullified, how we should react, and what do we need to know from a Christian perspective, or even beyond that, that the book draws on and kind of shares from that perspective?
I think as Christians and believers in Jesus Christ, who is of the seed of David, is coming back to rule and to reign from Jerusalem. Because God is a covenant-keeping God, I believe that as a child of God, our greatest calling in this hour is to step into a prophetic destiny that is to intercede for Israel. And the other thing that Scripture tells us to do, because Scripture is the final authority on anything and everything. If there is no Scripture, we have to be silent. We only need to speak where Scripture speaks. Now, in Isaiah 49:22, it says, "Behold," God speaking, "I will lift up my hand to the nations, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and they shall, and their daughters shall be carried upon the shoulders of the Gentiles." That means the returning of the Jews from among the nations is going to be a responsibility of the believers, the Christians around the world, who will carry them to go back and fulfill their prophetic destiny in anticipation of the soon return of our Messiah. He says the Gentiles will carry them and take them back. We will. That's why I've been involved with Aliyah. I have airlifted thousands of Jews from around the world, especially the former Soviet Union, when they were given the exit visas. They had no money to be taken back to the land. We raised the money to bring them back to fulfill Isaiah 49:22. God said it, that settles it. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to talk about it. Blessed are they that hear and do. When we obey and do what God says, then we release the blessing of God. Then we release the anointing and the intimacy with God. It's through obedience. Now, these are things that we've been told by God to do, that the church is ignorant, silent about it, doing nothing about it. We are walking in disobedience to our calling. God says when the Jews return back, you are to carry them back to the land to fulfill my prophetic purpose in having them in the land. Now, the church is so blinded by replacement theology that says the Jews have been replaced. No, God has not replaced them. He says, "I have blinded them to allow the Gentiles to come in. When the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, then I'll open their eyes and all Israel will be saved." So this is God's plan. You can't change God's plan. You've got to go with the flow. You've got to go where God's going, because that's where the blessings are, that's where the anointing, that's where the prosperity, that's where you need to be, where God is. And God's saying, "I will bring them back. You participate in this prophetic end time purpose of God." In doing so, I personally have a testimony that I've been blessed beyond measure. I'm truly too blessed to be stressed, because I have just simply said, "God, you said it, I believe it, I'm going to step into the story. I don't want to preach about it, I want to talk about it, I just want to do what God says."
Do what God.
The thing that concerns me about America, I love America, greatest nation on the earth, blessed nation, chosen nation, but Isaiah 60, verse 12 says, for the nation or kingdom that will not serve you, Israel, will perish. It will be utterly ruined. I don't want America to be utterly ruined. I don't want to see America perish. Because God said, if we don't work with the Jews, stand with the Jews, pray for the Jews, help them in their prophetic destiny of waiting in the land for the Messiah, He says, if we don't do that as a nation, we will perish. That's why all the kingdoms that went against Israel have perished. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, Great Britain, all of them have perished. Superpowers that control the world perished over this issue of Israel and the covenant. You don't want to be on the wrong side of this covenant.
You don't want to be on the wrong side of this covenant. Wow, you hit on something a few seconds ago about the fullness of the Gentiles coming in on them. And taking it back to Isaiah 62:4-5, by raising some watchmen so that we can make Jerusalem the praise of the earth. How do we raise? Is Lord raising those watchmen? How is it important, and what do we need to equip those watchmen with?
I think first and foremost, the most important thing is to equip them with the Word of God. It is written. Jesus overcame the devil by it is written. To give them clear prophetic guidance. This is what God said. Because when we pray according to His will, how do we pray according to His will? According to the revealed will of God. God has given us clear roadmap. This is what I want you to pray for. This is what I want you to do. And it's all here in the scripture. It tells us, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, we know that only the Prince of Peace can bring peace to Jerusalem. So we are praying that God will again visit His people, open their eyes, restore them back to Himself, and begin to see revival in Israel to bring them back to who they were called to be, the people of God, the apple of God's eye. Their coming into the fullness of their calling will bring blessing to the whole world, to the body of Christ, and to the whole world. We need
to
pray
world.
Until God, exactly, until God makes Jerusalem a praise on the earth, and there will be peace on the earth. Now, the church is caught up in the debate about the conflict and about this and that. It's the devil blinding the church from their prophetic calling at this hour. That our calling is to stand with them, pray for them, and pray for the Arabs also, that together they may be saved and sanctified and united and unified by a common experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the future. It's knowing Jesus Christ crucified and Him risen, coming to the now. But they can't come without us. In Romans 11, it says
can't
the
come
Jews
without
come
us.
To know the Lord. The Jews will come to know the Lord when we give them mercy, when we show them kindness, when we reach out to them and we love on them. That is what's going to open their eyes to the Messiah. When they see the Messiah in us, the love of the Messiah in us, when they hear the Messiah in us, only then will they come to the knowledge of the Messiah. It is the church's responsibility to reveal the Messiah to them, not to reject them, to exclude them, because today it's not like the Jews are not even welcome or celebrated in the church, because the church does not know that God has brought the church and the Jews together to bring them together to create one new man, where there is neither Jew nor Gentile, when we become one. And He says that in Scripture. Scripture tells us that He's creating one new man, Jew and Gentile. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, says He's bringing us together with the Jews as one people. So how can I reject part of the family? We got to walk together. We got to pray together. We got to know we're in this together as the people of God.
Walking, bringing us together. You know, I want to stay on that for a second and connect to the watchman of raising some new leaders. We spoke the other day, and it struck me with something, and it is so needed to be heard, and I want you to touch on it about new versus old manna, things that we're not going to be able we haven't seen before, and how we need to react to it. Can you talk about, give our friends that perspective, new versus old manna?
Yeah. Well, let's just begin by saying there are two things that are happening in the body of Christ. There is a group of people that are just born again, not sanctified. Now, there is a group that is born again and coming to discipleship, sanctification. Now, God wants to do something much greater than that, which is to bring us to what I call revelational relationship with God. Because to embrace Israel and to be on the right side of this issue, you have to come into a revelational relationship. That means intimacy with God. That brings you to a revelation of what God said in his word, which is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, to stand with them, to support them, to bring them back from the nations, to fulfill your prophetic calling. That prophetic calling can only be effective when you really see it, because it's, in other words, it's not taught, it's caught. We can speak right now, people are listening, and
so it's not
happen.
Taught, you say
so
it's
they
caught.
Catch it. It's not taught, it's caught. They either catch it and it becomes alive, and they are ignited and they become passionate and they start running with it and start praying because they realize this is God's call upon their lives, that this night is a defining night in their lives, that this program was not just another program, but a program to confront them with their calling, their purpose in life, their mission in life, to give them an impartation of the revelation of where God wants them to be, on their knees in prayer for Israel, and realizing that God has only you and me and the body of Christ to speak for him in the world. We are his ambassadors. Nobody's going to speak on these things. Nobody even knows about these things. That's why those of you who are given media platforms, you have a greater responsibility, because to him much is given, much is required, to really define these things more clearly for the people of God, because the people of God are following the world because the church is not helping them to understand. So they are perishing for lack of knowledge. My people perish for what? For lack of knowledge. They're on the wrong side of this covenant for lack of knowledge. How can they get the knowledge? Eric must broadcast. Must speak out and stand up and be counted, because that's how they're going to catch this vision, because it's not taught, it's caught. They're going to catch it and say, Eric, call you back. I'm praying. I got it. And it's God touching their lives in order to cause them to come into alignment with their blessing, because those who bless Israel will be blessed abundantly, unlimited prosperity. Jesus said, I'm come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Abandoned joy, abandoned peace, abandoned victory, abandoned prosperity, the desires of your heart being given, because your heart is in the right place to do the will of God as it is revealed in Scripture. Not what the church says, not what men says, what God says.
What
you
God
know,
says.
When I speak on these things, I get so many people to oppose me. People don't like me. That is true, because I've made a stand for it is written. God said it, that settles it. And they try to bribe me with money. They would support me if I would not talk about Israel and the covenant. They just want to forget it. They just want to ignore what clear Scripture says. But how can you do that? God is not a man that you lie. What he said shall he not do. He will do what he said. And I just rather be with God than with the popular opinion. of replacement theology and stand on the wrong side of this covenant. I'm on the blessed side of the covenant.
Wow, this has been so powerful of the vision not taught but caught. And it is a lack of knowledge that we have to make sure that we, this ministry and as well as others, to kind of share this platform. It is you've given us a lot to chew on. You know, I have, just to shift gears here for a second, Dr. Maria, I have a comment, a question that came in through Facebook. And the question is, we probably covered it. He's asking, can he speak on land other than Gaza that is included in the promise that the God made? Is there anything else outside of Gaza that Jewish people are not possession of that we need to be aware of?
Okay. Repeat that question so clearly so everybody can hear it.
Sure. So the question is, can you speak on land other than Gaza that was included in the promise that God made? And earlier we talked about Sharon giving Gaza, relenting and yielded to the political pressures and giving Gaza away. But is there any other lands outside of what Jews possess now is included in God's covenant?
Well, that is a very, very good question. It is true, and I know that most people know that they are not occupying all the land that God gave them, because he gave them the land that goes right up the river Euphrates.
Wow.
So the land that we're talking about right now is not all the land. It's the land where the ancient foundations that they had to restore, which is, he said, I'll bring you back to restore the ancient foundations. And those ancient foundations are in the West Bank. So God deliberately set up this whole conflict. Because those ancient foundations are known where they are. We know where Shiloh is. We know where Bethlehem is. We know where Jerusalem is. We know where Temple Mount is. We know where Calvary is. All these are the ancient Bethlehem. These are the ancient foundations that God says, when you come back from the nations, I want you to restore those ancient places. Simply meaning, I want you to go to the West Bank. Now, I would say Jews should not go beyond the 1967 border. They shouldn't do that. That would be a political thing. But seeing that God said they had to go where he ordained, he said you'll come back and do this, then I have to say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let the will of God be done. And I believe if we do what God says, there will be peace among Palestinians and Jews, that they will live together and prosper together and be blessed together because they are both obeying God. It's not an issue about land. It's an issue of God. Do we live to please each other or do we live to please God? Who is in control, God or man? The issue is man greater than God? That's the only issue. God did this deliberately, the heart of men on the earth, to see whether they will submit themselves to God or be in rebellion and say God is wrong. That's why churches that are not speaking on this, that is why the falling away of the church is coming. It's coming over the issue of the land and the covenant.
Right. Allowing politics to be
testing the heart of men.
Being the hearts of men. So it goes back to your question. This covenant is forever. And our hearts, our politics, our nation, our idleness especially, and not providing finances or prayer to Israel may have us on the wrong side of the covenant.
Well, that is exactly why our economy is where it is. That's why the conflicts we're facing all over the world. It's because we choose not to obey God. Either God is God, and we must obey him. Now, the person that asked about the question on the boundaries of the land, I would say go back to Genesis chapter 17. It tells all about the land and how far it goes. It shows its up right up to the Euphrates River, which is Iran, Iraq up there on the West Bank with Egypt. It is a big, it's big land. It's bigger. I'm not saying they should do that right now. Because
right
now, I know one thing. The scripture says they'll restore the ancient places. They should just restore the ancient places that God said, so that they are fulfilling God's word. It's not fulfilling the desires of men. It's not about the church, about America, about the superpowers. No, it's about the Almighty. We, in America, we are a mighty nation, but God is the Almighty.
So God said,
this is the way I want it to be done. We either do it God's way, or we face his wrath. So
Amen.
I'd rather be standing with God than standing with men in rebellion against God. Because I've never seen anybody succeed in rebellion against God.
And never will. And never will. You know, Dr. Leary,
God is who he says he is, I think we all need to warn our government, especially this Isaiah, tells us clearly, Isaiah 60, verse 12, for the nation or kingdom that will not save you will perish. It will be utterly ruined. That's God. If you don't stand with my covenant and my word, your kingdom, your great economic kingdom of America and its political influence around the globe will perish. Do you know what brought the end to the British Empire? The sun never set on the British Empire.
Mm.
When they came against the Jews going back, that great kingdom that covered the entire globe collapsed. The greatness in Great Britain was gone. No nation. Today we look at the American dollar as the global currency. People don't realize that a few years ago, it was the British sterling that dominated the global economy, and it was the global currency.
Yep.
Now, where is the British pound? Is it still the global currency? No.
It's
Why?
Gone.
Because they came against the Jewish people going back in 1947 and 48, and God literally shut down the British Empire.
Wow, you've given us so much rich, and the time's kind of really flown by. Dr. Murray, a lot to chew on, a lot to think about. It really helped this answer this question. I think it's clear. I believe it's clear, and hopefully we all caught it, caught the vision here tonight. And, you know, one thing I want to ask before I let you go, a couple things I want you to ask. What can we be in prayer with you about? What do you need us to pray with you about?
Right now, I need prayer to be able to speak to more people about this crucial issue, this terminal issue. I believe that God has given me the anointing and the appointment to speak on this issue of Israel in the last days and the church, to help the church step into their destiny and become that prophetic church and prophetic voice on the earth. I feel like I'm not doing enough because if much is given, much is required. I need prayer for God to open the doors for me to be able to share with the body of Christ, because I believe when the body of Christ hears the truth, they will stand up and speak out and they will run with the vision. But how can they believe what they've not heard, what they've not been told to them? How can they have a vision when the vision has not been communicated to them? How can they see what God is doing unless somebody helps them? He has given me this prophetic word to say to the church, our time is now to be prophetic, to stand with God's word and God's promises, bring a blessing to our families and to our nation. Now, that's the most pressing issue on my heart because I feel I'm not doing enough. God wants the church to rise up. It's like a sleeping giant that God wants to awaken. And I feel like God has given me a message to awaken the sleeping giant because the hour has come. The hour of the church is now. The hour of the believers to stand up and speak out is now. Not to condemn whether they are Arabs or anybody, because it's not about anybody. It's about God. This is what God said. That's all that matters, God. There is no other issue. It's a God issue.
Amen. Amen. We've been blessed to have you, and I pray that we're going to agree with you tonight, that we give you more support, you have more time in order to do more resources, more prayer for Dr. Robert Mariri to do more, even not only just in his current ministries, but those to come. And he is, support him in any type of way. Where can we find you, Dr. Mariri, from the website, connections? Where can people find you to support you and your efforts?
All right. It's WR for Robert, N for Nancy, O for Orange, Radio, WRNO Radio, at mailup.net.
.net.
That's it. How they can contact me, and WWRNO Radio. You can watch us there. You can visit us there. You can email us at this number, at this email. And our number is 817-850-9990.
817-850-9990. And also, you can find his book, The Great Dilemma, The Final Destiny of Israel, on www.lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. You can find his book there as well. And Dr. Mariri, I look forward to many more conversations in the near future, and we were blessed to have you tonight, but thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Eric. May God bless you. You're doing a great work. May the Lord just continue to expand the ministry and reach more people for his glory. Thanks for the invitation. I've been blessed.
Amen. Thank you very much. That's
good
Dr.
Night.
Robert Mariri. And I pray that we caught it. And he taught it, but hopefully we caught it. And the big things from Isaiah 62:4-5 is raise some watchmen. I think it really connects with what OnQ is all about, finding and equipping some new leaders for God's glory. And also in making Jerusalem the praise of the earth, as we find in that verse. So the Lord needs you, needs all of us. So this is our mission, is to raise some new leaders for his glory, to get us on cue with God's will, on cue and his calling on our lives, which is your purpose, and get others on cue with that purpose. So until next week, we thank you for joining us. And before we go, Kennedy's going to take us out. Continue to keep us in prayer, and we love you. Till next week.
Before we go, I'd like to thank our special guest, Dr. Robert Mariri. He was such an inspiration today. I have an ask for all of you. Put us on your prayer list. Like us on Facebook at OnQ Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Q Leadership. Invite a friend to listen to this show and to next week's show. Consider Q Leadership curriculum and training for your church, home, or company. If you would like to be a sponsor, please email us at onq@qleadership.com. Our host, my dad would like to invite you to the huddle on next fall. If you are a leader in the church, on the field, at work, at home, in the community, or anywhere else, consider us to enhance your leadership. We give all honor and praise to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thanks to those who tuned in. I'm sure my dad thanks his producer assistant, me, his better half, best friend, and my mom, my little sister, Carson, all of our family, friends in life, and on Facebook. This has been On Cue Radio. Until next week.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue with his calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
little about the heart of leadership and the art of leadership. What their power does is make sure they're looking at you.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.